gentlemen, you're probably wondering why I've gathered you all here today. It's for a podcast, the Experience Grind podcast, specifically. It's a show about getting older and the experiences we've gained through movies, games, and pop culture. I am this week's host and criminal mastermind, Brian Betts, and I'm joined by three international sex symbols and one test tube baby. It's the OG who's back for more, Ryan Demarest.
Some might say there's nothing more pathetic than an aging hipster. Wait until they hear about Experience Grinds 5.
Ooh, snap. He can't come back because he never left. It's Kyle.
What's up? My name's Kyle. I'm 40 years old, and I never learned how to read.
The nerdy boy who traded in his Thursdays for Fridays, and now he has to deal with Mondays. It's Sean.
Swedish-made penis enlarger pumps are my bag. Day, day.
And the only human being I've spoke to at least once a week for the last 6 years, Dave Michaels.
It's very cold in my basement right now, but I'm very, very happy that I found this Snuggie.
Oh, that looks extra cozy.
Oh, and it's a Mets one.
It's a Mets Snuggie. I found it in my house, and I'm using it now for forever. I don't understand why these aren't cool.
Comfort's always cool.
Not that one, but I want one.
So, boys, the topic I chose for this week is the 1997 comedy classic Austin Powers. I chose it because I like it. Damn it. And I feel like it has it's a foundation on the type of comedy I enjoy and employ British in humor. My day-to-day living.
Fawlty Towers, Monty Python, all British humor. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Mike Myers, famous Brit.
That's right.
I have a fairly funny and quick story about this movie.
Go on.
So, hear it. This movie came out when I was in eighth grade. My best friend and I at the time were obsessed with the trailer to the point that his dad forbid him. He's like, you are not watching this movie. And not because it was provocative or because it was racy, but because he knew we would just quote it.
It was going to be gamelessly.
And of course,
I get it.
That same weekend, he stayed the night with me. We went to see it because my mom didn't give a shit. But then later, we totally got busted because, of course, I was talking in his living room and I was like, yeah, dude, you remember that one part in Austin Powers when he did this? And his dad was on the couch behind us and was like, when did you see Austin Powers? And I was like, ah!
Oops.
I totally sold the goat, man. Yeah.
That's so much better than my
age. He was 100% correct. We did just quote it endlessly.
I feel like I've been quoting this movie since it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I never stopped. But that leads me to a question I have for each and every one of you. Individual questions. Should be a quick, short answer for most of you. First up, Ryan.
Wow.
Do I make you horny?
Very targeted.
Yeah, baby.
Kyle. Yeah, do I?
Do I make you randy?
Well, that leads me to my question for Sean. Do I make you randy?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do I? Yeah, baby.
And my final question is for Dave. Discuss in as much detail as possible your personal stance on the most efficient and ethical method for employing sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads in regards to A, procuring the sharks and frickin' laser beams, B, equipping the sharks with frickin' laser beams, and of course, C, training the sharks in the use of said frickin' laser beams.
I can do that pretty easily. And realistically, you're going to need a lot of sharks, so you're going to need a bigger boat.
That was actually a pretty perfect answer.
That's so good. Oh my God.
Maybe.
Took everything not to make a lot of noise during that.
The best opener in a movie?
I
fucking forgot how awesome Soul Bossa Nova hits.
I want to disagree only because I know there are other movies out there, but even Goldmember, I think, opens better because you get the Hollywood fake out Austin Powers before the Soul Bossa Nova with fucking Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones.
Introduced and everything. And it's like this big Singing in the Rain production.
I do love how each one gets way more elaborate.
Yeah.
Well, I like the second one a lot where they're doing the bit from the first one where they're covering up the naked bits, but they're doing it in like a grand scale.
Oh, they go they swing for the fences in number
two. Is that
two.
The one with the synchronized swimming?
Mm-hmm. At the intro? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The intros for these movies are just so top-notch.
They get you in the right mood.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's the comedy equivalent of the James Bond action opener. They do for comedy what James Bond does for action.
But I think it's even better than that. Because with this, James Bond's not going to end up on the cover of Time magazine. He's not allowed to. That'd be a big problem for a spy. But I feel like with Austin Powers, he's such a giant celebrity that exists in the world already that I feel like it just makes it that much cooler.
Well, I was also watching this and I remembered... And I was like, I think Dave and Ryan especially should like this movie even more because this movie directly contributed to the Daniel Craig James Bond films.
Right.
But that doesn't make
sense. That's a huge impact on film.
It is. But my dad really likes the Austin Powers series, really hates Daniel Craig as James Bond. But he also loves Roger Moore as James Bond. So I don't know where the question is of like, do I believe this guy who's led me my entire life and given my moral compass? Maybe that's why I'm a broken human being.
Sometimes like parents and children have like rival sports teams. So there can be a healthy, competitiveness there. I feel you like the Mets. So
does he.
Division here is like James Bond.
Kind of, because I actually thought about that a lot during the Mets run this year where they got through the NLCS and everything and they shouldn't have. The Mets are such an important team to me. They're on my Snuggie, goddammit. But it's because like that's the one team my entire family is all together on, is the loser Mets.
Yeah.
Misery makes good company, right?
Also, George Lazenby fucked as James Bond. Fucked so hard on Her Majesty's Secret Service is so good.
Is it Austin Powers had an influence on the Daniel Craig movies, or did the Daniel Craig movies get severely lambasted once they started implementing elements that almost could have been an Austin Powers movie? Because in the original 007 movies, like Blofeld and Bond were not brothers. They were in the Daniel Craig movies, which is also what eventually happens in the Austin Powers movies. Which is fucking silly. It becomes really silly and too close. I don't know where the Skywalker stuff ends up. Why does everything have to be related to Skywalker? It just makes the universe feel
the thing that
small.
Small.
The thing that gets me about James Bond is that it's, especially Daniel Craig, is that it's so unbalanced because you get Casino 100%. Royale, and I mean, that is a really high bar to set, and then you go to Quantum of Solace, which apparently if you watch him back to back, it makes Quantum of Solace like a masterpiece, but who's going to put in the time to do that?
You get Skyfall,
which is a masterpiece. And then Spectre right after, like, what are you doing? None of this makes sense.
100%.
So I don't follow because I've seen zero of these movies, but it sounds Austin Powers.
We're going to talk about all of them next week.
Austin Powers did to James Bond what Walk Hard did to the entire biopic genre.
Yeah, it did, which is really curious why this really speaks to you. And I'd like, before we even continue, like, Brian, why does Austin Powers resonate with you when you don't give a shit about James Bond at all?
I don't know. I've always really enjoyed a good parody, even if maybe it's because I have such of a naive take on what James Bond is that the jokes just land harder because it's like, oh yeah, that's the thing they do in James Bond, I think. It's the same thing. Like, I saw Spaceballs before I saw a single Star Wars movie and I was like, this is genius.
What? For real?
For real. Yeah.
What? That idiot George Lucas ripping off Mel Brooks. What a hack!
I also think... Very Agreed. Similarly, like, I didn't really care for James Bond movies growing up, and I loved Austin Powers when I, you know, was able to see them, but I think that is more so a attention span thing for me. You've got Austin Power movies that are just, like, quick clip, you know, there's not a ton of story in there. It's the bare minimum of a thread kind of going through all of this. Each part lasts 10 minutes. These movies are an hour and 20 minutes long. So I think, you know, it's a little bit easier to digest an Austin Powers than it is to get into the world that is the 007 movies.
Yeah, that tracks. Dave is, of course, showing on camera right now his poster that has all of the Bonds playing cards together.
Yeah. I see that you were forced to take that off of the wall upstairs. That's sad.
That's been relegated to the basement, it seems.
Yeah, I did a visual thing snuggies for everyone listening. You're not a part of it. I don't tell you. Outsiders.
He also had to take his headphones off to do the thing, so he doesn't know that we told you what he was doing.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
Welcome back to the party, Dave.
Thanks so much, guys. It's so good to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the party, pal.
The same way that Airplane is an excellent parody of disaster movies that I had little to no basis
I've on. Never seen that. Yeah, right? I totally get it.
I would argue that's because a lot of the stuff in Airplane is not necessarily satirizing the disaster. It kind of does its own thing, whereas I'd say it's almost 50-50 here with Austin Powers. Some of it's just like clever stuff, but there's a lot that is taken from James Bond in these movies too. A lot.
Yeah. But that's by design, but they also wanted to like make it its own thing in a way.
Slapstick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say this is more in the line of like Mel Brooks, because Mel Brooks took heavily from whatever the source is, like Robin Hood, Men in Tights, Spaceballs. So much of the DNA of the original stuff is in his
by design, parodies. Yeah.
But yeah, then there's also like the just slapstick or punny stuff that anybody can pick up on, you know? But
that's in there. That joke, like, he takes the bones of what the story is and then kind of just throws gags in on the bones. Yeah. So it's gags and bones.
You take that funny moment and you stretch it out so long that somewhere in the world, Seth MacFarlane goes, I have an idea for a TV show.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Seth MacFarlane bothers me so much. I'm so jealous of that man. He's so insanely talented and funny, and then also
he's
at the same
so
time,
incredibly talented,
not funny. And I think that's kind of the brilliance of him.
What? Oh.
I think Seth MacFarlane is so funny that he could be not funny and still get away with it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Like, kind of fame makes you lazy kind of situation.
I wouldn't put
like,
it that way. I think
he's
so is
funny
tuned
that he doesn't have to try
who watches
anymore
his show. He is tuned into his audience.
Yeah.
That's probably true. I feel like that's, you could say that about any artiste in the comedy reign. I think
you could probably say the same thing about like Dane Cook in the late 20s, 2000s, the late aughts. What do we call him?
There was a time for Dane Cook, and it was right then.
Yes.
Yeah. I listened to whatever one he just put out recently. It wasn't great.
I wouldn't imagine so.
Does he still have like that manic energy that just like, guys, I'm funny?
Yeah, but it's like depressed.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it wasn't the happy man.
Turned on him, including his own brother.
Oh, his brother.
Oh, no.
His brother was his accountant and stole all of his money.
Yeah. Pretty big shitbag.
He thought he was the Burger King, because he was. He stole all of his money.
He took all of Dane Cook's money and
on my pussy.
Went to the BK Lounge.
All these things were funny at one point. Yes.
Yeah, back in the day. Which was a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday, of course.
Yeah. How did you know
that?
You were
taking a cashew and just like launched it off the tip of your penis.
Okay, the amount of times I say, let's do this, I'm a cashew, and nobody understands the reference, disheartening. But also gives me hope for the future.
They've forgotten at this point.
No. Yeah.
Less so, but there used to be a time. I love the who's in my mouth bit, and you do that one in public and nobody understands it. You look like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah. There are certain jokes that need that wide knowledge to pull off.
You know who would know who was in his mouth? It's Austin Powers.
I don't think he would.
I don't think that he would.
He gets around, man.
I disagree. I think Austin remembers every sexual encounter he's ever had.
Just because he loved it so much, because he's a good guy,
I agree.
As we learn. He's able to yell at a British lady, I'm so horny, I'm going to fall over you. Oops, I trip sexual assault. And she's just like, oh, Austin, you.
Oh, Austin.
No, but he does show, so-and-so. Like, he does have the charm later, because there was this big hubbub on social media not that long ago, because people revisited Austin Powers, and they, like, he actually is a nice guy. Like, when she's hammered, he doesn't put the moves on her. He
He pumps the brakes.
He keeps the distance. He's like, it wouldn't be right, love. You're hammered.
It's all talk.
He has. I like Austin how goes for consent.
They
the
don't
sexiest
balance
thing.
Out.
Hold on.
I don't like, think that you could.
I like that this is where he draws the line. Like, also respect, but also you are actively groping everyone throughout the entire
that
movie.
Is a difference of the times.
Yeah, I think that's more a commentary on the '60s and like that culture, and specifically James Bond, who is a fucking
womanizer.
Boy. I mean, he's just pig, especially the Connery movies. Like, he's not good. He's not
a good Connery
dude.
Ones are
and Connery
bad
is not
that.
A dude.
No, but then you get Roger Moore, who just keeps getting older, and the girls just keep getting younger.
Roger Moore is gross, and Roger Moore is
he like reverse McConaughey's it.
But Connery's like all for like slapping a woman, and like that it's okay if you slap her, but you just keep an open fist, you know, open palm, and then whatever.
I didn't you know like to slap.
Like, and honestly, whatever. I think it's all commentary on that. The kind of chauvinist behavior that comes with the legacy of James Bond. And I think that's one of the smarter things this movie does. I'm with Kyle. I don't see that as a bad, and I do think it kind of balances.
Do you
out.
Think that was what the message was then when they were making this in 1997?
I think, well, yeah, because they do go out of their way to show him not cross the line with her when she's drunk. I think they were doing what Trump did when he refused to like disown the white supremacists when he got called out by Biden in like the 2020. And he's like, you're not going to alienate the people who are turned on by this, you know, kind of shit. But you're also going to say this other things for people who are reading into it. It was the shrewd play. Is it the most ethical play? Whatever. Is Austin Powers woke? No, he is not. But he is also not
he
like
could
a
be, though, I feel like
should
he
be
could be.
He
no, I agree with you there.
Not.
I feel like there needs to be like a Austin disclaimer Powers on my woke. Love for Austin Powers and James Bond. It's like, I love these movies, and I understand what's wrong with them.
Yeah. I also...
And that's an okay
I
place to be,
clarify,
I hope.
Like, I'm not that hard out on it. Like, I understand. Like, I know what you're saying. I just thought it was funny that, like... You do have that very, like, that very pointed, like, oh, no, you're drunk. But then it's, you know, juxtaposed with everything else that happens with the movie. And it makes it stand out that much more. And you're like, oh, okay, you're actually a
when
good guy.
When you take
guy.
That single moment out, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think so much of that earlier stuff is just the way that they show the fish out of water that is 60s yes. Austin in the right. 90s. And right. it's like... Yeah. Oh, this open sexuality doesn't work. It's like Russell Brand now. Doesn't work, man. Gotta cut that shit out.
Yeah. And around that time, too, it's like three quarters. It takes like three quarters of this movie to have Vanessa to be like, this isn't the 60s anymore. Like, and
Vanessa
they
falls
have
for this dude pretty
out.
Quickly, and I don't understand why. She has no reason to. And especially because Austin comes in and is like, where's your mom?
That's more of the issue I have with this is the turn in her affection towards Austin. Never
it's feel quick. It's very quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's very weird considering that he openly tells drunk her while she's passed out, like, oh, if your dad weren't there, I'd be your dad pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's
very
cool
weird.
With it. But
well, she's
whatever.
Asleep
this
at that
written
point.
And directed by dudes.
But he didn't sleep with her then.
She instantly falls for him because they go out drinking one night. And then he gets back from his trip to get intel from a lot of vagina.
Tryst.
His tryst, yes. And then and he's instantly like, you mean the world to me. This whole relationship just happens overnight, and it never sat right with him.
I don't think it's going to last. Wink.
It's, well, it's,
machine gun jubblies.
But is that not satire? Is that not the movie doing what James Bond does, 100%. Which is turns a woman into an ally, flip-flop almost 180 degrees with no rhyme or reason by the end of the movie, and then by the next one, we're on to the next one.
I think, honestly,
the Austin Powers do better because they actually give, like, meaningful
her a job.
Send-offs. Whether it's good or bad, they actually write exits for the previous girls, but...
instead of honestly, just starting a new movie.
Honestly, I think if you were
them.
To take any yeah. part of these movies with a microscope or, you know, a magnifying glass and find an issue with a lot of these things, you're kind of just doing it to yourself because it is, I mean, it's intentional.
100%.
So, yeah. like, if you're really hyper-criticizing a lot of things, like, oh, it happens overnight, well, yeah, of course. Like, it's intended that way.
It's not a movie that's supposed to be really inspected and combed over.
They're yeah. not exactly teaching Find this the along with behind Frank Austin Capra Powers. Movies in film school.
What's the subtext?
Though, I do think, I mean, there is, like, worth to parody because they are mirrors to the genres or whatever they're doing. And yeah. again, to this, I say this is a great mirror. It does hold up a mirror and it shows, like, James Bond and all the warts. And there are a lot of warts on James Bond, as Dave can attest to, like, 20.
So many. So many.
How many movies? 22, 23, 24?
I lost count.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe there's 10 really great ones of the 24. And then, like, there are, like, 12 not good ones with really problematic shit. And even in the good ones, there's still some problematic shit sometimes. And that's, it's this weird legacy that if you are a fan of James Bond, you are always fucking wrestling with. And to me, Austin Powers has always felt like a comic who is wrestling with that same thing, too, and had to exercise his little silly demons on film. And that's Mike Myers doing that. Mike Myers, to me, reads as, like, a James Bond fanboy who is just like, isn't it fucking weird? Like, these movies are so cool and popular, but then, like, there's this over here, and then there's this over here, and then let's do that, but, like, make fun of it. And, like, I don't know. I think that makes really good satire, that they are not able to just call it out, but kind of accurately, like, recreate it, like, to a nail. If you are kind of disgusted by what's going on in Austin Powers, you'll be disgusted by what's going on in James Bond, because that's what they're calling out. Like, that is the mirror being put up.
Like if we were doing the equivalent of this, if we're doing a talk on this show about, like, the equivalent of a James Bond movie, would we be right now picking apart how ridiculous it is that they
probably
had
leading
something
with it
out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just 100%. It's the kind of thing you have to get out of the way early. It's kind of like whenever you talk about a Kevin Smith movie and you have to talk about Harvey Weinstein at a point.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like anytime you talk about a Kevin Spacey movie.
Mm-hmm. Just in general. Yeah.
I was going to say, just as a parody and a satire, I think the thing that proves Austin Power is good at it is that this movie's fucking funny, man.
It's so
really
funny.
This movie is
pretty
fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, throughout for the 90-minute runtime, mm-hmm. I've seen this movie dozens, hundreds, I don't know,
so many times.
Still laughed the entire time I watched it yesterday.
Yeah, it's been
didn't
a
get
while.
Distracted and feel like I wanted to pick up my phone and look. Was hooked.
Absolutely.
Into it.
It's been a while since I've watched it, and I found myself, like, laughing hard at certain jokes. So
I get one of those feelings watching this that I get while watching, like, Dumb and Dumber. How it's one of those, like, no, it's still legitimately funny. It's not nostalgia funny. It's legitimately funny. I'm not, like, quoting the lines that come up. Yeah. I'm like, Mike, you say them. You say them, Mike. You nail it every time.
That's a good joke. Yeah.
There's a term I heard recently that was, is it great or were you eight? And that applies to one movie you have to ask that for. And I think, yeah, as Dave said, this is great. It's not a were you eight movie. This is great.
What I really enjoyed about this watch through is that it's been so long since I've seen in its entire, like, sat down and watched one of these. Between, like, one and two, it's been so long that there are little bits that I can't really remember, especially when it doesn't have, like, the main characters, like Fat Bastard or Minnie. Or Vanessa, like, the little parts where it's just him and, say, Basil, like, I can't really remember which one they are in. So every time they're alone and having a dialogue, I'm like, oh, it's in this one. Oh, yes. That was good. That's
like
good.
I forgot Random Task was in the first movie.
Oh, he's also problematic.
Oh, yeah.
Really problematic. I fucking forgot that, too. And I was like, As soon as he popped up, I was like, oh yeah, Mandy, that guy's in prison. He murdered someone.
Murdered and sure did,
but
people.
It's such a good name. Oh, of
oh yeah, no, the person he murdered was his cellmate.
Yeah.
From serving his life sentence.
Just, he was just proving dominance, guys. You gotta but sometimes. You gotta
honestly, he's also he's a bad guy. Bad guys can be problematic. It's when you glorify heroes for doing problematic shit that it's an issue. Bad guys he wasn't, can be problematic.
He wasn't problematic until, like, a couple years later.
Yeah, when he got and arrested even,
for the thing he did before this movie.
Was it, was it the guy in the terminal or Knocked Up who also had
the real actor.
Yeah. Oh, Joe's I thought he missed, like, dialogue that Random Task was a rapist. Sorry. And I was like, that's a weird thing for Austin Powers, but okay, I missed it.
No, he's currently the real guy. Time.
IRL, not a good dude.
His Wikipedia page has his mugshot on it.
Is he still, well, that's every is movie, he still man. Alive? Or did he... I thought he got murdered in prison.
He might be dead.
I know he killed his cellmate.
Definitely killed his cellmate.
How do you guys know so much about this actor?
You don't have Austin Powers set on your Google Alerts?
I was going to say, I think Austin Powers was a defining movie for a lot of us.
And yeah, but it's also one of those, I don't remember, like, hearing about Random Tasks.
I just remember, like, it's one of those, like, Google notifications would be like, hey, the guy from Austin Powers killed people. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
And then you click it.
Missed this.
Literally, the person that he raped had a copy of this movie before they found out it was him that did it.
Update. He is still alive.
Still alive. It's 53
years old.
What?
He can't yet.
There are so many questions. But
in August 2011, he was found guilty of torture in connection with a gang rape of a woman from Orange County.
Ew.
The torture and assault happened on Christmas Eve in 1990.
On Christmas Eve?
21 years later. So he had already been 7 years post this crime while he's appearing in Austin Powers. Have fun watching this again, folks.
He thought he had turned his life around and was going to be a big movie star. But then, you know, DNA evidence turned out to be another thing.
Yeah, I still watch Kevin Smith movies from Harvey Weinstein, so.
Well, in fairness.
Just a fun fact for listeners who.
There's other things. Holy shit. Oh, yeah.
Just a quick moment to, you know.
Crazy.
I love that Dr. Evil just comes out hard and kills, like, a majority of his henchmen and main villains.
Yeah. Why not? Generalissimo?
Yeah.
Great name. Doesn't even get a line. Just gets killed. A very young Will Ferrell, too.
I had to look up how old he was in this, and he's like,
how old was he?
Feature early debut, isn't it?
He's young.
Very young. Always incredibly funny with the small thing that he has here. Mustafa does get built out a little bit more in the following scene. I love
that it's like the same bit, but like more extreme each movie that goes on. It's
funnier.
Yeah. Isn't it in the second one where he's like, oh man, oh shit, you asked me the third question. You asked me the same thing three times in a row. I gotta tell the truth.
I hate to be asked the same question three times.
I actually also do, though. Where he says, now that I have kids, almonds. I hate it even more.
His wound is gangrenous.
Oh, I've broken my other
Do you guys remember when Tom Arnold was a thing?
Tom Arnold?
I do.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I do think he's also...
I love him in this movie.
He's great in this flick, yeah. The fucking not... Yeah, buddy, you show that turd who's boss.
It's the right amount of
just
time.
Just bite your lip and give it hell. It's something I think about often.
The line...
Calm down, buddy.
You're
going to blow it over.
Why are you wearing that costume? No, actually, I'm English. And then Tom Arnold just goes, oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Sorry. Damn, boy, what did you eat?
I think that's every line that he has in this movie. That says that's a good cameo. Yeah.
It's famine. Famine.
How
to use words. Carrie Fisher. Good impression of a British person, though.
Man, I had to pause it and be like, "Is that Carrie Fisher?" Because
goddamn right,
there's multiple things in this movie that I never picked up on or realized prior to this watching. Multiple things, and Carrie Fisher being the parent therapist.
Can we talk about the greatest thing in this movie? Because it's not Austin Powers. It's Dr. Evil.
Of course. Mm-hmm. 100%. So
good. Everything that he does is just funny. Everything that he does.
He is nonstop. So delightfully weird to say, he is so delightfully evil. Like, he is evil to the core, but it is
he's
so
perfect
funny
comic
how over
evil,
the top
though.
Evil he is.
Like, even the scene where he's handing something, he's handing the cat to Random Task, and his arm is stuck in there, so he gets pulled away on the rolly chair.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the little moments that just work.
And then he has to, like, walk his way back up.
I love that.
Dr. Evil is this evil leader, but he's just a huge dork.
Yeah. He is, and that's there's a reason behind that. It's based off of Donald Pleasance, his portrayal as Blofeld in James Bond movies, and Lorne Michaels.
I was going to say, and Lorne Michaels,
and
of
Lorne
course,
Michaels,
famously.
Yeah. Dana Carvey, still mad about that. Dana Carvey claims, of course, that Mike Myers just used his Lorne Michaels impression for Dr. Evil.
Oh, wow.
Oh, darn, Dana.
Yeah.
So sorry. Go do another Master of Disguise movie, please. Please.
Okay,
that'd
but
be
like,
great.
Awesome powers to the love guru. Or awesome Mike Myers.
Eventually.
Yeah.
It's not like Dana Carvey had a setup into the Master of Disguise. That was him batting leadoff.
That's fair. It's like, this is the culmination of my life's work.
not
sorry
everything
about
be
you,
a
buddy.
Winner.
What is it about the love guru that didn't work? Like, awesome powers.
Besides
racism.
Everything, besides the Mershka Hargate should have worked every single time, and it mostly did.
Yeah, but I'm just, like, Mike Myers has written four movies. Three Austin Powers, and then The Love Guru. And it just does not match
Well, correction, he wrote two movies, and then judging from what Sean said, and this is just going off what Sean said, this is not hate, because I actually like the other movies, they go on to do the same joke, but more extreme. So he writes the same movie three times, doing variations on the same joke.
He said just the Will Ferrell bit was a
lot of
the
oh no
the
no
same.
No they bring
a
back so many bits.
That's what makes
it,
a lot of
every
single movie's a rehash of the previous one.
Yeah
with different elements added.
Which again,
but
is
isn't
maybe
that kind of a parody
Bond.
Of the oh look at us
it is it is but how, like
yeah,
if we're saying like where did
YVB
he go wrong if he wrote three completely different movies but they're not really different, they're kind of the same, and then he tried something new and it didn't work, so I
you
think
know,
that
as
kind
Dave,
of shows it.
I agree with you, because as Dave was saying, that it's what doesn't work about Love Guru is it's not an Austin Powers movie.
Yeah,
that's what doesn't work with Love Guru, aside from literally everything else.
It's a
listen, he was
shit
just swimming in
too.
Shrek money and was like, what do I do with my time?
I was going to say, I mean, he just basically made a copy of a copy of a copy. And the one who was laughing was him all the way to the bank. So,
yeah.
Remember that time in Austin Power where we were cowboy and Indian? But, you know, that let's make a movie about
that.
Well,
blew
that
your mind when
scene.
You found that out. This is the second time you bring
him.
It blew
Oprah.
Your mind.
Dude,
and the worst part was,
guys,
I never caught it.
I but think then, I was watching it just thinking how ridiculous it was every other time I saw this. But then watching it, I was like, wait, that's Cowboy and Indian. This is ridiculous.
It's the biker sketch from Super Troopers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or the Mike Myers masks, and they got Austin Powers masks instead of Michael Myers Halloween masks.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is another great.
It's a joke on a joke on a joke. Nothing is original.
Nothing ever is, so why care?
It's how you present
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's how you present it.
Did you know that the cat that played Mr. Bigglesworth's actual name was Ted Nugent?
Which is...
I saw you put that down, and I thought that was just a joke you made. And I thought
no,
it was
that is the cat's
joke.
Actual name.
Oh, is that? Oh. All right.
And
sorry,
for listeners who can't see what I'm looking at, nude, like naked, gent, like gentleman. Ted Nugent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a naked cat.
One of them naked cats.
That was what I think this movie caught everyone by surprise with how fucking massive it became. Because Austin Powers was everywhere, dude.
Yeah.
This blew up.
Yeah.
When
I don't
this,
think I saw this movie until
99?
The second one was out.
This was 97. Really? The second one skyrocketed even further. Yeah. That.
Well, this was right after GoldenEye. GoldenEye made James Bond popular again in 96, so that's why.
Mm-hmm.
It really hit the zeitgeist at the perfect timing.
Well, I'm sure
especially
it was
with the Princess Diana
after
joke,
after GoldenEye
right?
did well,
yeah.
Mike Myers was like, well, hey, I've got this James Bond type thing.
Yeah. And it worked. I mean, that's how Scary Movie did as well as it did for so long, was mm-hmm. it saw Scream
that's coming
do
back.
So good. And that, I hate that, but yeah.
But don't see it.
Don't invite. Yeah, I'm not
there,
going
problem
to.
Solved.
Don't
it's not for it
you.
Doesn't affect
Scary
your life.
Scary Movie 3 is the only good one.
Ah,
Scary like Movie itself is pretty damn good. And 2 is pretty funny.
I actually loved 3 too.
And 4 is not bad.
I like 1, 2, and 3.
I can't remember which one is 3 and which one's 4, but I know
a lot
I
of signs stuff in Charlie.
Yeah,
Sheen. 3
is the signs one.
Uh huh.
Okay, yeah, that is a good one.
Dave, have you gone back to Scary Movie 2 recently?
I have not. Not since it came out.
Is it great or were you 8?
Sean, I can't take anything you take seriously. We're on Discord right now chatting, and every time Sean moves, there's like balloons popping up in his screen.
I don't know
it's so distracting.
Happening. I don't know.
I thought you were doing that.
I don't
on
know
purpose.
What's happening.
No.
Oh. What are you doing?
Now Brian's got
Brian,
it too.
Brian, what are you doing? That's problem.
Oh my goodness.
It's like
I don't
herpes.
Know what causes the
it's
balloons.
Spreading.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's
that'll
like
kill
herpes.
A boner.
It's spreading. I love that.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
this movie
Thatcher
came out
naked
at the
on
perfect
a cold
time.
Day.
It's just unfortunate that I think I was a little too like. There's no way I was going to be allowed to see this when it came out. I was in like fifth grade, and this isn't. Yeah. This wasn't going to be one of those movies that got rented on our like weekend rental or whatever. Mm. But I got to live vicariously through other people. And I think, honestly, I think I saw it first with Mitch. Probably.
Yeah, that's probably who I saw it first with, too. So,
and that we're talking like an age. Dudes, I didn't even know what horny meant. I didn't know what Randy meant. Yeah. So, like, I completely get why in school, like, teachers were losing their shit. People just walking around being like,
do I make you horny, baby?
That was pretty problematic, probably, as a teacher of a bunch of fifth graders.
I'm looking at all the movies that came out right around this time.
A lot of vagina. Oh, teachers are like, what?
This movie cost $16.5 million to make. It made $67 million.
Nice.
It finished second its opening week behind Breakdown. Yeah. Can anyone tell me who's in Breakdown?
No.
That's Kurt Russell.
Is it?
Is that the one where
you guys
rides
pulled
the tornado?
Fast. We got some
Russell. I love
Russell
Kurt Russell, too. Man. I love Kurt Russell. Yep.
You don't remember things I told you this morning. How are you remembering Breakdown?
Because Breakdown's a fucking great tits thriller, man. His wife gets kidnapped by a trucker.
It's actually
great
a
movie.
Really,
is it Taken?
It's a great poster,
there.
Too. It's Kurt Russell's face and then a bunch of fucking flames.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
good and the truck there too, the giant
isn't that
semi.
Most posters for
I only remember his face because what a fucking face.
Man, it's a great movie though.
What a fucking
you also have
face.
Volcano finished at number 3. You
it's
had Liar Liar
segue,
at 4.
Ryan.
Liar man, Liar Liar must have been out for a while
oh,
then.
No.
7th week. And on its second week.
7th week.
The one that's on its second week was Rami and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Oh, what a great fucking movie.
That's a good movie.
God
damn that one.
Mm-hmm. Fucking love Romeo
I've seen the beginning
show.
Of that movie several times but never actually watched it.
Same here.
What the fuck? It's
neither of you
have
seen Romeo. Dude,
no.
I have
you
a
guys,
Romeo and Michelle's coffee cup.
What garbage do you watch that you're not
that's,
watching Romeo and Michelle?
I don't know. It would come on Comedy Mostly. Central and I would change the channel to something else.
That movie is based in the Tarantino universe.
Oh. Ryan, let me tell you about this show on MTV. Where people are disguised as a monster and set on blind dates.
I love Patreon callbacks, things that haven't happened yet. It's so good.
Was that on Patreon or just off show?
Yeah, it was.
I don't
know. Mira Savino was dating Quentin Tarantino at the time, and there are Red Apple cigarettes advertisements, and I think she smokes them at one point, too. It's set in the Tarantino universe.
That's cool. I never knew that. I knew she was dating him, but I didn't know the Red Apple cigarettes were in there. That's super.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what
I think
a there's
fun a big
time.
Kahuna. I think they're actually eating Big Kahuna Burger too at one point.
Wow,
100%.
I don't recall all of the movies of like the last 3 months, but this might be the movie with like one of the highest grosses coming back, and also like one of the lowest budgets. Like this cleaned up. I guess for 1997.
It did well for its budget.
I mean, that's how you get two sequels.
Absolutely.
Man.
Get that sweet, sweet return on investment. And the studio goes, make me more.
Did you guys have a crush on Elizabeth?
Of course.
Oh, 100%, yes. 100%, right? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not only just because, but all, like the British accent is just going to.
Every time.
Yeah. I think she's hysterical. I actually think her performance is legitimately funny. The way she's trying to play the straight secret agent to whatever it is Mike Myers is doing.
She doesn't.
She's a great
straight woman.
So difficult.
Brian, what did you say?
I said it has to be so difficult.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I think I have a different take.
Here it is.
Go.
I thought, and this is one of the things where I'm like, are they parodying the bad James Bond movies? And that's why it is. I thought her acting is awful. Awful. And she was like, really like, I don't know. I did not look at her in this movie and think she was in on the joke. I think she was playing it like she was in an actual James Bond movie, but not doing it well. And I think a lot of her stuff really works with Mike Myers playing off of her. And I hate to say that, but I think when we go to Heather Graham in the next movie, Heather Graham gets it. And I don't think Vanessa gets it. I don't think she's very good here.
I think she's playing that her stuffy, posh.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But at the same time,
would you say that her performance is robotic?
Maybe set. Wink. That's a
they
good
didn't know about
pull that.
That
parachute, Brian.
They did not know.
They did not know about that in this one. No, I did not.
I feel like she is stuck in a hotel room for the most part in this entire movie with this absolute cartoon character. Whatever she's doing, she has to lean in to a certain point, but keep that small bit of professionalism pulled back. She knew what she was getting into. She was dating Hugh Grant at the time. When she got the offer of this movie, Hugh Grant said, like, you have to take this thing. He's one of the funniest people on the planet. She knew what she was getting herself into with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think maybe just Heather Graham. I think she's just a good comedic actress. And I think that's maybe why she flows better. Plus, she gets to play a little more. Yeah. She's also a 60s agent.
She's so good.
She had done Bowfinger by the point she did Spy Who Shagged Me, right?
Bowfinger.
And I think she's had a little bit more practice with more than just modeling and very kind of, as somebody else said, very straight performances. I don't think Elizabeth Hurley had a lot of range by this point, whereas Heather Graham really did. And again, when we go back to Beyonce in the third one, back to kind of this very not good stilted performance.
Rigid.
Because she's not had a lot of experience. But it's a Bond girl. They don't have to have experience. They just have to be models and look really good. So is that the parody? And like, that's where I have a fucking conflict in my head, which is stupid, but.
I hate that you have me comparing Heather Graham to Elizabeth Hurley right now. Like, that's where my head's, because I'm thinking like, that's what I meant. What'd I say? I don't know. Heather Graham. I feel like Heather Graham comes to Spy Who Shagged Me with a totally different mentality. She's willing to play. She's a hell of a lot more of a vulnerable actress at this point. Yeah. I think you have Boogie Nights to thank for that. Like, she's willing to literally lay it all out there.
That's true. Mm-hmm. She had PTSD from P.T. Anderson. By that
point, Classic case of PTA PTSD.
That was PTA, really PTSD. Hard to
That's
say.
What they call it.
Oh my God.
Wow. Something I struggled with is, I mean, it's been alluded to multiple times, like the reveal at the beginning of Spy Who Shagged Me that, you know, well, air quotes reveal that Vanessa, spoilers, is a fembot. Like, watching this movie is so hard. Like, seeing so many of these scenes with that knowledge in my head of what's to come. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Especially scenes that
when they introduced the fembots as if they just invented them in the middle of this movie after we've established Vanessa as a character.
I don't like this thought process. I don't like this thought.
Who has a mom.
I agree.
No, I feel like the fun part of Spy Who Shagged Me is they literally fridged Elizabeth Hurley in a fun way. That was all it was.
I agree.
It didn't matter. I'm not looking at Austin Powers canonically, okay?
That's why I'm saying they had no foresight. So any robotic stiffness is not like some brilliant, like next level. I'm
not saying that
from a, no, I agree.
Yeah,
it is.
I'm just saying it's yeah. A lot of it is like, wait, what? But I can shelf that. But that is like the only thing that made it difficult for me. Not even difficult. It's like little things that just nagged me in my head in an otherwise fantastic movie.
Well, if it helps with your future rewatches, just imagine that they swapped the real Vanessa with a fembot in the lair when they do that spin around reveal. Like,
oh, there you
but
go.
But we have her when this a lot of vagina is holding a gun to her head.
The only brunette fembot. Let's go.
So Elizabeth Hurley could still be out there somewhere.
She could be.
We can only hope.
You know, they really missed something by missing all of the Daniel Craig movies and how like serious of a tone that took. They could have parodied that in, I think, a really fun way if they did an Austin Powers reboot, essentially, and they made it very gritty.
Oh, I'm gonna need fun in the next James Bond movie. Elizabeth Hurley to show up and Bond to call her Vanessa.
Okay.
I'm going to need that to happen. I'm not going to watch it. When do you guys let me know if it happens?
I don't know if that's a tone that Bond
Kyle's got Google Alerts. She'll be fine. You'll know before.
There you go.
I think I want to talk about my favorite bit.
Which favorite bit?
Dick.
Absolutely.
I mean, hands down. The fucking cart stuck in the hallway still makes me fucking laugh.
With the 17-point turn,
it's one of those like today, and it's another one of these that like it's gonna be lost to time, and I hate that. But like, I can still say I'm doing an Austin Powers turn. People instantly know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's something that makes it's iconic. Like that it eschews like. The film itself to become like just a part of normal conversation. Doing an Austin Powers turn is when you don't have enough room to make the turn. You just get it. It's understood.
Yeah.
Fucking it's like huge. when you're parked along the side of the road and you parked relatively close to the person in front of you. And then somebody parks like an inch away from the back of your car. And you're just like that inch wiggle out.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, as a kid, like I loved the steamroller part. I mean, it was funny. Like, oh, I still do. Stop. As an adult, that turning, the Austin Powers turn in that tiny little hallway made me laugh so much harder because I think we've all been there at some point.
Yeah. And the way they cut back to it and he's just wedged it, it's so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite bit's at the beginning when he gets unfrozen and he's talking to the Russian guy and he's calling everyone comrade and they're like, no, we won the Cold War. He's like, oh, yay, capitalism. All right.
Yay, capitalism.
It just shows how flippant Austin Powers is.
Austin, we won. Oh, groovy. Yay, capitalism.
That's so awesome, too. Great little. I thought you were going to talk about the pee, because
that's what I'm going to talk about.
I don't know why that's part of the conveyor belt.
I love it so much.
Why?
We've done some bathroom talk in the past, Dave. Questioned me prior in some marathon recording sessions on how I did not have to use the bathroom at all.
Yes.
I have a very large bladder.
You do have a very large bladder.
So occasionally, when I go to the bathroom, it will take a very long time. So I love that evacuation complete bit. And I've done it in bars. Just like, I'll be standing at a urinal for so long, and there'll be like a line behind me of people waiting, and I'll just be like, evacuation complete, and it gets a
Brian's,
laugh. Like
Brian's just a 30 fucking piss camel over here. Time. It's crazy.
It works every time.
But yeah, amazing. I mean, it is. I love that joke.
Mm-hmm. Here's a. I'll just throw a science fact at you because it made me think of it. And without the addition of booze, because it does affect things. But every mammal, from an elephant to the smallest elephant shrew, takes an average of 21 seconds to drain a full bladder.
Yep, it's true.
It's unanimous throughout the entire mammalian kingdom, 21 seconds to take a full piss.
I think it was you that told me that, and I was like, no crazy fucking fact. Way. It takes me like 2 minutes, and then I literally timed myself. And I was like, yeah. You son of a bitch, you know my
I will time myself in the future and let you know where I clock in.
If you're above the mean, I'm curious. Tell me how that dick works.
Before we go on, I really like in that bit the unwarming or the unfreezing process. Like they have a phase called the warm goo phase, the warm liquid goo phase, and
yes,
just like that. We're just gonna call it what it is. We're not gonna come up with a clever name. We're just blunt.
I don't know if I can even pick out like a favorite part of this movie, but something that really stuck out, and it is one of the highlights, is the whole going back to my intro, like the sweetest maid penis enlarger pump scene. And not because of just like how ridiculous that object is, but mainly the person who's giving him all of his stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, it just made me so happy that this dude, you can see it on his face as a character, I don't give a shit. Just take your stuff, and just I'm going to keep embarrassing you until you take all of this stuff. Oh, it's not yours? What about this? What about this? Oh, dude, there's this weird satisfaction in me. Just,
I love when he's walking away and the guy whistles at him and shakes it, and he's like, all right, quickly now, quickly.
I love he's just that is unashamedly Neil Malarkey. Austin.
Neil Malarkey actually used to do comedy shows with Mike Myers as Malarkey and Myers.
Wow.
In the mid-80s.
Was that the guy that was giving him all of his stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great casting.
Throughout. I think more than just picking a favorite bit, because there's too many to pick from, I don't know that I can do that. But I can say most of them work. What works for me are like the more kind of clever things. I love the nudity choreography and hiding that. So that's good. Just like... Mm-hmm. The amount of time and effort, I love that. I love the Austin.
How she's blatantly looking off screen at some sort of monitor while doing it.
Yeah. And it's fine. It's fine.
It's
whatever.
Smart move. You're not looking at her.
You notice that after how many viewings, but like in the first couple, you're never going to notice that. Because
it's actually just a weird thought I put together now is I'm so busy looking at naked Mike Myers, I'm not looking at her. And that's crazy it. That. My attention
I was
drawn away
too,
from
because
Hurley.
I wanted to see how they hide his junk, because there are a few times in the reflections you can see it. And I was like, is it a gherkin he's wearing? Does he have a gherkin or what are they doing?
Yeah, probably.
It's,
a pickle?
It's just a giant
I think it's
mat
a fur
of
gherkin.
Cubings.
It's a fur gherkin.
A merkin.
That merkin, not gherkin. I don't know what that is. Merkin.
He's literally just wearing
pickle.
Hairy underwear.
It's a furry pickle.
A gherkin is.
You can tell this movie never accounted for the existence of high definition, because you're right. In the magnifying glass, you can see like he's wearing a sock.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I was looking at that. But like that's what works for me.
I just told myself I was looking too.
You paused it.
We all were.
The stuff that maybe worked less for me is some of like the more what I would call prequel fodder, which is we're gonna go back in time and just like reference things that will happen, and it's funny because we don't know that's gonna happen. And it's with mostly Dr. Evil and his plans, where he's just talking about the Prince Albert thing. Let's go extort Prince Albert and pretend and make up this affair that happened, and we're gonna show everybody that already happened, and he had an
super
affair, and
duper problematic scene.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, the movie literally
the
came
because
out
of this, because she died.
She died
like, right
the week of the release in
out.
UK.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to it being problematic, I don't think it's very funny. And in addition to like, let's just call attention, like the ozone's a thing now. And it's like it's the jogging joke in Anchorman, and I think that's like the lowest effort humor. When there's like, if I'm being honest, so many of the other jokes are firing on all cylinders, you get to like things like this and it's womp womp for me.
On the flip side, so you have him like being told all of these things that are like, oh, that has happened. I thought one of the funniest things in here was when he was trying to discover all of the things that have happened since the 60s, and he puts a CD onto a record player.
And it just makes that god awful sound. And that did make me laugh.
That was hilarious.
To go back to what Ryan was saying.
It's also accompanied by him, like, and this is a joke I've never understood, the pumping the sneaker till it explodes?
That's just a visual.
Whatever. There's a time for that. It doesn't land now. But going back to what you said about those two things about Princess Diana and the ozone, and then eventually this goes, whatever, we're just going to do what we always do. We'll threaten the bomb of the world. I feel like that is... the setup for the punchline. He comes up with two things that are kind of legitimate, just to land the punchline. I'm like, no, of course we're going to do the same thing we always do.
It's the rule of threes. But I get what Ryan's saying, too, because it is sort of like already tread ground, because we've already gone over this when, like, he's threatening him for $1 million. And everybody's like, that's actually not a lot of money.
$100 million isn't that much.
That is
now.
A better fish out of water joke than the Princess Diana stuff, which is literally explain it down to the exact detail that nobody would ever fucking think when they came out of hibernation. They would not have this plan. They only did it because that's exactly what happened with the Princess or Prince Albert stuff.
Show this to somebody 16 years old right now. What's going to be the funny thing to them? Not the ozone thing, not the Princess Diana thing, because that's beyond their years. This isn't an evergreen thing. Right. The money thing is funny.
I think so, at least.
Everybody,
it's a better fish out of water joke, and it's, repetitive at that point. Mm-hmm.
I like him not being able to turn off the screen when he's hanging up with the United Nations people. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Puts on Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, and I love the idea. I love when number two comes to him and kind of shares, like, evil's corporatized now, and we're in businesses. And, like, it blows his mind just how well they're doing in business.
Without him.
Yeah. We don't need these stupid, silly plans. Evil's doing well just by, like,
we could just be evil
giving people what they
America.
Want.
Yeah,
I love that that's motivation for number two later. And, he gets all cocky and sits in the chair. It's God damn it. Fucking great jokes, man. Set up payoffs, more payoffs.
I never noticed that when he walks in the room, he's got one of the fembots stuffed in a briefcase.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love it.
I don't
number
know that
two
I
does.
Noticed that.
Yeah, there's a wig and the boots are hanging out the back end.
It's so good. Never noticed it before.
I didn't even notice it this time.
Same. It's I'm a subtle. With Sean.
That's and I fantastic. Love the, I love the bit they have a factory that makes tiny miniature models of factories.
Yeah.
As he's so showing good. Him everything that the company does now with the miniature models.
So good.
Oh, what a great
I also
Gary
I thought that
Borealis.
Was another subtle joke. I appreciated the fact that I think they have the oil refinery up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have something else down in Texas that, like, they should have been switched. And I was like, that's just a joke, right?
Yeah.
I think
I forget
is.
What they had in Texas, though.
I couldn't tell you.
Probably like a rainwater.
It was something
filtration.
Like that. Yeah, dude.
Layers like an onion. Am I right?
Hey, that's different. Hey. Mike Myers movie.
Low hanging fruit.
onion. High hanging vegetable.
That's also a different Mike Myers movie. It's a love.
Yeah. Yeah, I fucking love Austin Powers, man. I think it's just a rare case. And maybe we'll revisit it at some point in the future. But I think for me, Spy Who Shagged Me is a rare case where the sequel is better than the original.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've
know.
Always felt. But I haven't
don't
seen it for
that
a while.
I agree with
and
that.
I did laugh a lot at this one after watching it.
I'm
so.
Going to need a rewatch to make sure that's how I feel. But yeah.
I'm prepared there's going to be a lot of problematic stuff in the second one with Fat Bastard and a few other things.
That's fair.
He ate a baby.
Just can't imagine some stuff's handled gracefully. Fucking way.
Ryan's always worried about Scottish people, mostly.
Mostly.
Lampooned.
Nobody defends the Scots. Nobody.
Hey, there's one thing that Death to Smoochie taught me. The Scottish Mafia don't fuck around.
Look what they did to him.
they made him anti-Semitic, those Scots. What?
Don't be like me. Keep some dignity. Ow, my balls.
Oh, no. All right, how about we score this damn thing?
I'm down.
Let's.
All right. I feel like history has shown that Sean's pretty good at coming up with these, so why don't you kick it off?
All right, sick. Who am I gonna pick? I'm gonna pick Dave.
Yeah, buddy.
Dave. Let's say that you encounter 13 fembots that immediately try to seduce you. But you are able to turn the tables with some cigarettes and some sexual dancing. How would you rate this movie based on the success of your hip thrust head explosions?
There's not really a number score there, so I'll say 10.
I said 13.
Out of 13.
Oh, yeah. I'll still say 10 out of 13 then. I feel like this movie, age hasn't really hurt it all that much at all. but I feel like nostalgia is also kind of weighing in a little hard on this thing, even though
it's hard to separate.
It's a tricky one. I don't think it's a perfect comedy. I think it's a fantastic comedy. I'll definitely go 10 out of 13 fembots that I need to seduce with cigarettes and my sweet man thong.
Mm. On top of that, of the five of us, I feel Dave is the closest that would actually have Austin Powers' chest hair.
You're darn right.
What? Brian's right there.
I figured so.
Brian, you got a T? Right there.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah?
Come on.
Does it go the T full on?
It goes full on the T.
Okay, okay. I stand corrected.
Ryan. Out of all your famous friends who've died, I know you're most upset about Mama Cass. She choked on one ham sandwich to die, even though her family like blatantly said, no, that's not true, but she definitely did. We all know. Score of 1 to 10 on ham sandwiches that killed Mama Cass. How are you scoring this movie?
You said 1 to 10?
1 to 10 ham sandwiches that killed Mama Cass. And definitely not a heart attack.
Well, this is perfect because I think a ham sandwich can perfectly be split in half. So no worries here. I think it's going to be 7.5 ham sandwiches, maybe even 8. All right. I'm not sure. But if you don't want me to split it, if you don't want me to split the sandwich,
cut the crust off.
I'm going to shove the whole sandwich in my mouth.
Oh, gosh, hold on.
I
just checked my notes again. I just I misread it. It said unsplittable ham sandwiches. I can't believe I have to specify this.
So then it's 8. I'll do 8. I'll do 8. It's
well, you didn't say quarter ham sandwiches, so I'm gonna go 7.25 ham sandwiches.
You did something that can be split.
Mm-hmm. I'm not so sorry. I will never do it again. It is a lesson learned.
If you did how many Mama Casses, I'm not going to be like, well, I'll do 7
there's
Mama
only
Casses
one Mama Cass,
and then, like,
buddy.
Half of her bottom half.
But the Carpenters, there's 4 of them.
That's true. That would work out well.
There are 2 mamas and 2 papas.
Oh, my God. fuck it. I'll round it up to 8 then. I'll 8 Mama 8 ham Sammies. In Mama Cass's gullet, out of 10.
Stuck in her throat, killing her.
Right in there.
Perfect.
All right, then I will hop to Kyle. You're ransoming the world, and fuck it, I'm just going to hop to like the sequel. For Preparation H, and you are demanding how many out of 100 billions of dollars.
Oh, that could be split. I'm going to go with like 1.625
100.
Billion.
You don't need to split
spit out
because
of 100
that's
billion?
Different than
10. That's true.
I mean,
somebody
split. I'm going to say easily, like,
we'll talk ratios later.
Oh, pass. No, thank you.
I mean, I kind of... I had a great fucking time, man. I'm going 900 billion or 990 billion. The number that makes sense with a 9 in front of it.
Whatever 90 billion. 9 out of 10 is.
90? Yeah, I love that.
That. No, I mean, I had a blast with this. I haven't seen this movie in forever. I didn't know how it was going to hold up, you know, especially with comedy. Comedy ages the worst out of everything, I feel. And like I said, I don't feel...
Yeah.
There was nostalgia in it. Dave hit that nail on the head. I don't feel... Yep. I feel it's a well-written, joke-filled movie. Some jokes don't all hit, but not everything's a banger. Still, great choice, Brian. I really enjoyed this week, buddy.
Thanks.
And
there
on that note...
There were a few timely references that aged out, but for the most part, I agree.
I got one for you.
Oh, okay.
So say, Brian, as you are... the leader of an evil multi-conglomerate.
Yep, naturally.
And the one thing that you wanted after being unfrozen was frickin' sharks with frickin' laser beams. But we don't have that.
No.
We do have some ornery and angry sea bass. In fact, we've got about 20 of them in there.
Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to 20, hungry, ornery sea bass, what are you giving Austin Powers?
Austin Powers... is getting 17 of those ill-tempered mutated sea bass from me. I adore this movie. And it held up way better than I even thought it was going to. And I had pretty high hopes for it. So very happy to have revisited this one. And I think that leaves me with having to ask Sean one.
Oh, yeah.
So out of 15 amazing, timeless Burt Bacharach albums, how many albums are you giving this movie?
Ooh, hmm. Do you guys think those sea bass are honorary because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush? I will give this. I'll give it 12 out of 15 Burt Bacharach albums. I really enjoyed this watch through. I agree with everybody else that said that, you know, there's not a lot of, it doesn't feel like nostalgia that may be boosting that. But also at the same time, like, this was, I believe, a big part of our youth anyway. So maybe it doesn't have that rose-tinted thing, but maybe we do have a connection to it, yeah. A fondness, a nice memory of it. But, like, I am really curious to hear somebody's thoughts who has never seen this before. And maybe they stumble across the show and they're like, holy shit, I've never seen this. Maybe they're like 25. You know,
we got to go whatever, find a teenager.
A little bit younger.
Let's go on Fortnite.
Yeah. Let's ask Yuri's friends. I'm really curious to hear somebody's thoughts who's never seen this movie before, to see how it hits for them. I'm really surprised that I think we all gave pretty much the exact same answer.
Pretty darn close.
For this.
We were all pretty close, yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this. I'm super, super thankful that you brought it up. And I am so goddamn surprised that none of us has talked about this movie before.
That was the most shocking thing for me.
Right? Which leaves the other two clearly wide open as well, which is really awesome. But since I was the last one asked, and we are probably getting to the time to wrap up, I am going to take the moment to say here, guys, if you enjoyed everything that you have listened to here tonight or today, whenever the fuck you listen to this, we
no mornings.
Would really much so appreciate it if you went and found us on Facebook, Twitter, wherever social media exists. You can probably find us there. We also have a Discord, which will be right in the show notes down below. We are newly on Spotify and I believe Amazon,
mm-hmm.
right, Kyle? Sick. Ooh, nice. So if you are someone who just uses an old podcast app and you're like, man, I wish I had everything on Spotify, you can do that now. Also in the show notes, our Patreon. A lot of great stuff going on. I'll tell you what, there's extra stuff that we record before every episode that we put out on the Friday following the episode release. So look forward to that. And with that, back to you, Ryan.
A lot of callbacks or what you might call forwards.
Yeah. I'm terrible.
Like the Lost.
We're big fans of Lost.
It's a lot easier to ask questions than to give answers.
I know.
Hey,
about
everybody,
the
watch From It. Just
future.
Got picked up for season 4. It does the same goddamn
Speaking
thing.
Speaking of asking questions, Ryan, what are we talking about next week?
So, deviating from the movie a week format and going back to Dave's thought experiment, I want to do that again, but this time not with movies. It's going to be slightly different. This time, I want you guys to bring 4 songs that nail your essence. Ooh. I want you to think of like any song that just describes you as a person. Not necessarily songs that made you. But if somebody heard these 4 songs, they'd be like, oh, I get them. I get who this person is.
That nail our...
And that way, when we're done, we'll have
Evanescence have 4
playlist.
Songs?
Could be.
We could make a playlist to share.
We'll have
out.
A playlist this is, of 20 songs that are going to perfectly describe Experience Grind Podcast.
Oh, that is.
And we will make it available after this episode releases, but that's my idea. That's why I'd like to
do it. That's the hardest question anyone has ever asked
me. Yeah, giving me a week to
holy shit
narrow down who I am as a person in four songs is going to be difficult.
I can give you four songs next week and then give you four different songs the following week.
Completely different songs, yeah.
I thought this was going to be much easier. I'm sorry.
No, I like it. It's a cool, fun challenge that I will, again, much like Dave's episode, I will be changing episodes up until, or changing answers right before we record.
Yeah, it's perfect. 100%. Yeah. It's a tough one, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Do I put down that one song that I've listened to on repeat for 6 years?
Yes. That's, yeah, you could.
Probably not.
I'm curious as to what it is.
Casey Kasem has returned to the podcast.
Oh, God, I would love it if Casey Kasem was the host. With me.
Oh no.
It could be arranged.
Brian, I'm gonna need you to not be sick next week or whatever we record so that you can do the Casey Kasem.
I need to bring back this long distance dedication just for Sean. Oh, that's so good.
My number one song is from that Metallica album that we made up.
Well, this was fun, boys. Thank you for humoring me and my Austin Powers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That went over pretty well. On that note, who has something to tell the listeners they can do? Oh, Sean's got one.
Oh, yeah. Listeners, I want to thank you so much for listening in. But until next week, go shag yourself.